basic instructions before leaving Earth. This is Bible Radio, the internet radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, St. Paul in Minnesota. And this is Sunday Morning Live. Calvary Chapel, St. Paul is a non-denominational church dedicated to the teaching and living out of God's Word. And now, Sunday Morning Live.
Well, good morning. It should be obvious, I'm not Pastor Chick. But if Pastor Chick, when he was in the Marine Corps, had decided to color on himself with the crayons instead of eating them, he might look something like me. So this morning we're going to be in Matthew chapter 18, starting in verse 15. You guys want to open up there. Pastor Chick is away on a special assignment with Pastor Mike Fernandez. So we're going to pray for them, certainly, before we start here. But we're going to read our passage, and then we're going to pray. So starting in verse 15 of chapter 18 of Matthew. Now, if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. If he listens to you, you have gained your brother. But if he does not listen, then take with you one or two others, that the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to listen, even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. All right, let's pray. So, Father, we thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you that your word has all the answers, Lord. And, Lord, it gives us the instruction to live a godly life. We thank you that you've given us your Holy Spirit so that we might understand your word. Father, we lift up our pastor to you and Pastor Mike Fernandez as they are on this special assignment, Lord, dealing hopefully with reconciliation. And Lord, we just ask that you give them the ability to be wise as serpents, harmless as doves, and Lord, that they'd cut through all the lies and whatever else as they are afforded that opportunity with your word, Lord. So we ask this and you bless this time in Jesus' name. Amen. So yeah, please continue to pray for them as they're dealing with a situation out of state with another Calvary Chapel to address some accusations and, Lord willing, participate in reconciliation efforts. This is how we do things in Calvary Chapel. If you understand the history of our movement, it's a lot of churches that planted came out from Costa Mesa, and those churches remain connected and associated with Calvary Chapel, but also with a board that's established and folks usually from other Calvary Chapels to make sure that we're all doing things the way the Lord would have us do that. And so Pastor Chick and Pastor Mike get to do that this weekend. So please keep them in your prayers. Let's see here. So there are situations oftentimes, or you know, hopefully less severe, but we have to deal with confrontation, right? And sometimes it can just be one-on-one. Sometimes it has to be, the church has to be involved in it. But when things get to this point where we're now bringing, you know, all the leaders of the church together to deal with an issue, there's a communication issue, right? As you all may have very well heard, that information is critical, but communication is key. It's important we talk to one another. We express the things, the grievances we have toward each other, that there wouldn't be bitterness that gets built up, right? And so as we've gone through the letter to the Corinthians, the first letter to the Corinthians, I hope that we can grasp, that we've all seen, I'm sure we all know intimately with ourselves that people are messy. I had the privilege yesterday of being in the children's training, and it was described that kids, generally innocent on the inside, right? There's less going on in here, right? Those things can be easily corrected and adjusted. But up here in the adult class, we're messy on the outside, right? We're messy on the inside. They're messy on the outside, just being sticky and whatnot, right? We're messy on the inside. We have problems in here that need to get addressed, dealt with. Sin that's in here. We see that very well in the Corinthian church and as Paul is addressing them. That we hurt each other. Sometimes it's intentional and sometimes it's unintentional. But we do it because we're imperfect. It's not an excuse or justification to do that and be a jerk. But when it happens, the Lord Jesus has given us a process to go through this. And so, again, you've heard it echoed throughout 1 Corinthians, certainly, that the Bible has all the answers or it has none of the answers. And so we get to see some of that today. In this process, though, that Jesus lays out for us, the ultimate goal is restoration, right? We want to get back to fellowship. We want to get back to doing what the Lord's called us to. We don't want those things to be a distraction or a hindrance to the ministries that we're involved in. So we can look back on 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and we see that there was a brother there that was sleeping with his stepmom and, you know, doing things that were not even spoken of amongst the Gentiles. But Paul is telling them that we've got to deal with this. We got to move this guy out of fellowship for a time, right? That whole thing would allow that person to experience the pain of separation, and so that he would desire to come back, get things right, and then be back in fellowship. And we see that church took a very extreme position on it, and Paul had to address to them in the next letter, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 6. So I'm going to read this passage for us. 2 Corinthians 2, starting in verse 6. And he says, "This punishment that was inflicted by many on such a man is sufficient. It's enough. So on the contrary, you ought to forgive him and comfort him, lest perhaps he might be swallowed up with excessive sorrow. Therefore, I ask you to confirm your love toward him. For to this end, I also wrote, so that I might know that you are proving yourselves by whether you are being obedient in all things. Whomever you forgive anything, I also forgive. For if I forgave someone anything, for your sakes, I forgave it in Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices." The enemy will use anything to steal, kill, destroy, distract, get you off your game, move you out of what you're supposed to be doing. And it's these little things, these little problems can grow into larger problems when they're not dealt with soon. And so it's important for us to keep that in mind as we're looking at this passage of Scripture. Let's get it dealt with. And so I'd say this, for any discipline that has to be done, whether it's church discipline, you discipline your kids, the Lord disciplines you, it's all for good. We do it so that there can be growth, right? And so we see in Hebrews 12:6 that whom the Lord loves, he chastens, he disciplines them, right? But we want to move beyond that and move to something else, to future events, getting our eyes off of this old stuff and how we used to do things, to do new things and different things. You know that if he doesn't discipline us, though, that we're illegitimate children, according to Hebrews 12, verses 7 through 8, and we're not sons. So it's good for us. It's a good sign if we're getting disciplined, if the Lord is moving and putting us in positions where we have to deal with sin in our life. That's a great thing. Where he disciplines us, it's an amazing thing. We don't want to do that. If you didn't do that for your children, according to Proverbs, right, you hate your children. You've got to discipline them. I've got to discipline my kids. I wouldn't say it is pleasurable by any means. And last night I had to discipline two of my children. Not a great time. Certainly when I'm trying to prepare for today and trying to cook dinner and, some people are getting over, my wife's getting over being sick and, house is kind of a mess. But it's got to be done. Because if we don't do it, the problem grows. And so, according to Hebrews 12:11, right, it's not joyful at the time. Sometimes it's grievous, right? But it's not permanent and total, right? It's not, this is it. This isn't condemnation. It's not the end. It's to mature us, to grow us. And it says in Hebrews 12:11, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness. We know that there's the fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, it's love, right? And then love is defined as patience, joy, kindness, goodness, self-control. These things all are what define love, all that we can see. We can see that all in the person of Jesus. But that's what it's doing, this discipline. It brings us out. And so As we're looking at this, and ultimately in this passage, we will see, you know, what church discipline would be. When it comes to that, the end of the process, it's still designed for reconciliation. Always reconciliation. But I do think that we can get these things dealt with by having a conversation with that person. And so we start the process. And as a soldier, I like processes. As a matter of fact, in the unit that I'm still currently assigned to, I was accused of being a processes guy. I like things. I like checklists. I like going through things. I like to make sure that I'm doing it right so that I'm not doing it wrong. I mean, my dad repeated to me so many times, him also a former paratrooper, that you know, you want to do it right the first time. And so if I go through it, I go through a process, I know how to do it, I'll end up learning that process. And then I don't have to look at the sheet and go through it and whatever. You put on a parachute, right? Super important to put on a parachute the right way. Because if you don't, that falls off. You don't, you know, I mean, I guess it's not your problem anymore, right? That's somebody else's mess to clean up, and you don't have to do it again. But it's better to have the parachute on and work the right way. And so, and additionally, going and clearing a room, right? We go and stack up on a room to go get the bad guys inside. We don't want to breach the door and blow up our buddies. We don't want to go into the room and shoot our buddies in the back. We don't want to go in the room and shoot everybody. Those people have some information that we might want. So maybe we don't shoot them. Maybe they'll surrender. But if we don't go through our processes and understand the process, there's things that are going to happen. You know, I'm sure in your places of employment, you have processes or process I or however it's called. But we've got to go through them. And we honor the parties that are involved when we go through the process the right way. So let's see here. So Jesus lays out our process here with the first step, and Jesus says, now if your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault between you and him alone. So the first step is with the offended party. So there's a quippy saying, you know, when throwing a stone into a pack of dogs, the one who yelps the loudest got hit. So you got hit. All right. So now we get to start this process. Because if we don't, the thing that will end up happening is that will fester and grow, and then you get mad, and then you get mad with other folks, and you get, before you know it, it's a big deal, and it really wasn't that big of a thing to start with. So you got hit. Well, you Christians know that that's guaranteed in your walk. That's your birthright. If you look at Philippians 1:29, it says that it is granted for you not only to suffer, or not only to believe, but to suffer. That word suffer is less specific and more general than the word that we see in 2 Timothy 3:12 when it says that all who desire to live in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. The word that we're seeing in Philippians 1:29 is pasco, where the word in 2 Timothy 3:12 is dioko, right? Pasco. This is the word also that was used to describe Jesus' sufferings. But understand, Jesus came from on high. This, he was king overall, over the whole universe, got outside of it and came down here and put himself in one of these. And then, as we can see in Matthew 8:20, you know, birds have nests, foxes have dens, but the Son of Man has no place to rest his head. He didn't have these things. His life was even more difficult comparatively to those of the disciples. But Jesus walked by faith. Jesus lived by the Spirit. Those things he didn't consider necessary, right? His, you know, the bread that even he ate, even he, when he was challenged by Satan, right? That it's not by bread that man lives, but by God's word, right? And so, understand, Christian, that it's our birthright to suffer. And if we go into this and we see that, then maybe this can shape our perspective a bit. Remember, Jesus was hated by people because he spoke the truth and nothing but the truth. The servant is no greater than the master. So we should try to live in this same manner. And so the master says, go to your brother. And so how do we go? Should we go angrily? Ready for a fight? Should we be ready to treat that person the same way they treated us? Because obviously that's how they want to be treated. Well, no. That's not what was given in the instruction in Luke 6:31. but we should treat others the way that we want to be treated, correct? So if we continue to do that, despite how we're being treated, we're starting to live like Jesus lived. And so Jesus, he came in humility. He came meekly. And Jesus, according to 1 John, is love. And so we can say confidently that the things that he did were in love. When he healed people, when he liberated people from demons, when he fed the 5,000, when he rebuked Pharisees. This is all in love. Jesus' hate is motivated by his love, where our hate is motivated by our hate and because we're dissatisfied. Now, he loves, and he loves reconciliation. He hates separation. That's why he came, to reconcile us to himself. And so we should be striving to do this in the same manner that he did, right? And you might be absolutely right in your feelings that you were offended, that you're wrong. And that person may be absolutely wrong for what they did to you. But if you go in anger, not an anger that's motivated by love, you go in anger, you're just mad, then you're just going to be wrong too. And then what? Wouldn't it be better just to be wronged in that case? And since we've gone through 1 Corinthians, you know this. I know you've heard it. But for the sake of hearing it again, because I think it's so important, as Paul is addressing the Corinthians, as he's talking to them about them going to unregenerate pagans to deal with their legal matters, he says in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7, "Now therefore it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why not rather be wronged? Why not rather be defrauded?" Why not? Why not just have that? This is your birthright. This is what we're guaranteed. Jesus said you're going to have trouble in this world. This is just something that you get. And so, but wouldn't it be better just to be wrong instead of to go to your brother and be angry and have a fight about it? Now, I say that to you, and I think many people up in this region, as opposed to where I'm from, maybe a bit nicer, right? Deal with things better. I think you could develop bitterness, but my family comes from New York and New Jersey. We like to fight, okay? We like to get it out there, but that's not the way that Jesus is telling us, right? He's telling us a different way. And so we see certainly in 1 Peter 4, 12 through 14, Peter's talking about to suffer for righteousness' sake. This is a good thing if you do that. If you didn't do anything wrong and you're just suffering because of that, great. Take that as a badge of honor. This is what's supposed to happen. You're doing things right. And so I'll echo something that I recently heard from another older brother in the Lord. And it hit me hard. And he said, it's right for you to suffer for other people's sins. That's a good thing, right? We see Paul address this too in another spot where he says in 2 Corinthians, addressing the same church, 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 6. And he says, if I can find 6, if we are afflicted, it's for your consolation and salvation. So could we not maybe suffer for other people, even if they're the same people doing it to us? Isn't that exactly what Jesus did when he was mocked, when he was scoffed at, when his brothers and sisters call him crazy, when he was betrayed, when he had his beard ripped out, when he was beaten and then hung on a cross? Isn't that exactly the same thing? Except he did it way more in a way more difficult situation. We just get our feelings hurt. I don't know if any of y'all have been beat up for, you know, preaching Jesus or living for Jesus, but I know none of y'all have been like that. So it's not as bad. And yet, we still have the same Holy Spirit that gave us the power to be able to endure those things, just like Jesus did. You know, as we're looking at going to our brother here, We can see in the previous passage, Jesus is talking about going to this, get your lost sheep, right? Leaving the 99 and you'll get him. To go recover that. In the same way, we're going to go recover our brother. If we look in Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus is addressing the church of Laodicea, he stands at the door and knocks. This is a church that's abandoned him. They're doing their own thing now. But Jesus is making contact. He's trying to go there and trying to get things reestablished. So we should too. Why are we above that? He is setting the very example for us to walk in. Let me see here. And so I would assert that if we go in meekness and humility and love to the offender and express the concern, there's a better chance that they may receive what we're trying to say. They'll hear us out. And I would say this too, as you're considering not just the way you're going to deliver your information, right, and communicate, but what you're going to deliver. I do suggest the direct approach, right? Don't be vague and hinting at it. Let's get to the heart of the matter. Let's be clear, not communicating to be understood, but not misunderstood. I believe it has been said here many times to be open, honest, and transparent. Let's walk in that. That way there's nothing in the darkness. Everything is in the light. Let's get it out there. That way we can get through it and get back to doing what we're supposed to do, fellowshipping. You guys are aware of the technical definition for fellowship, right? It's two fellows in the same ship. So let's get back in that boat. Let's keep rowing. So I think that if we're operating in this way, the same manner that Jesus is pressing in us, and he gave us the example of, that they may listen. And then genuine apologies could be made. And then your brother is gained. And how sweet is that? You know what the second best thing to that is? You don't have to go on the step two. This process is done here. Now, I got to observe this past week. I was told that two brothers were going to come into the coffee house. They had some issues to resolve. And I need to be there, have the coffee house open, ready for them to come in there so that they could do their thing. And so, and that's exactly what happened. They came in there and they, went up to the upper room, had their conversation. Now, I wasn't dropping eaves. I was listening to pop punk downstairs with my kids and doing stuff in the coffee house. But as I seen them come out, they seemed to have their problems resolved. They shook hands before they departed. But they didn't come in there with arms, right? They didn't come in there with weapons ready to do battle. They didn't come in there with a list of arguments and set up like they were going to be in a courtroom to make their case. They didn't come in there looking like that character from Inside Out, Anger, right? Where they got a flame on top of their head ready to burn each other. No, they came in there and I seen, from my position, with meekness and humility, ready to talk, sit across from the table, have a cup of coffee and figure it out. And they left in the very same manner. And so I think that we can do this, right? There are other people out here actively doing it even today. But let's move on to verse 16, right? But if he does not listen, then take with you one or two others, that by the testimony of two or three witnesses, every word may be established. So if that person is being stubborn, what does Jesus say, right? He says that there's a deal on knuckle sandwiches, right? And you're getting both free. No, absolutely not. Even if Proverbs 18:6 says that the fool's mouth calls for blows, that doesn't mean that we get to pack, ship, and deliver those knuckle sandwiches same day. That's not our business. The Lord is the one who's going to vindicate us. Let him deal with all that. No, Jesus says to take another brother with you. Now, y'all who've been here for a while, and I'm sure in other churches, there's similar practices, but when we are dealing with sensitive matters, it is at minimum to have two people, right? So that you have another witness for you, right? It also helps us keep each other accountable in the process, keeps honest people honest, right? And we have that alibi. So in case that we are required to give a defense, it's not just our word, right? We have something else somebody else to go in there and speak up and say what they saw, what they heard, and we're able to have a less tensious situation. Tensious, I'm not sure if that's the right word. Tense, perhaps. In any case, words are hard. So that's why we go with another brother. We also get another perspective, right? When we go into these situations, oftentimes we think, well, I was hurt, and that's it, right? Like, obviously, if I'm hurt, that's the end of it. And in 2025, it's pretty crazy to say that your feelings aren't facts. They may not actually be founded on facts at all. So that's why we have somebody else. So when we go into this, we should be open to be wrong. What if I'm, in fact, the one who's wrong in this situation? So if we can do that, that's, again, entering in with humility. And maybe we actually are wrong. And maybe we weren't willing to see that with just the other person that offended us. But with a second or a third brother or sister, we might, in fact, have them expose that in us. And that's great. Because if we can see the problem and the problem can get dealt with, then we can, again, move on to doing what we're supposed to be doing anyway. So understand, again, it's for reconciliation. It's not to justify you or me, the person who offended us. No, that's not it. We want to reconcile. We want to get through this. All these things, Jesus doesn't even hold them against us, right? He's forgiven our sins. He's set them as far as the east is from the west. He's cast them into the depths of the sea. He remembers them no more. So if we get to that point where we have been reconciled, why are we going to bring it back up? Why does it matter? When we get to heaven, nobody's going to care. You're not going to tell me, you know, when I yelled at you for whatever, you're not going to get mad at me because I ate your sandwich. You know, it doesn't matter. We're going to be with Jesus. Who cares? But let me speak to a personal thing here. You know, when Chick and I were reconciling back before Scarlett was born, you know, we brought a third party into it. And this third party pointed out areas that we were both in wrong in, and we accepted it, and we apologized, and we started rebuilding the relationship, right? And that does take some time, but we started working on this. And look at us now, two peas and a soup of peas, right? Here at Calvary Chapel St. Paul. This is not a thing that I ever thought would happen. I thought, yep, okay, good, we're good, but I'm in North Carolina. You're up in the Arctic. I don't have to deal with you. You still don't have to deal with me. It's fine. But here we are. We're dealt with it. And there was a lot of things that I had wrong. And, you know, even as I've gone through this last almost 12 years of being married to Kara, there's a lot of things that I realized, oh, yeah, I've rushed this. I've rushed that. This was out of order. I shouldn't have, you know, done this. I should have waited. And, yeah, but we're here now, right? What does it matter? And you guys know Chick, right? You know that he's not going to bring something up against you as an accusation if he's forgiven you about it. I know it personally when we were in Israel. You know, we had received a word from the Lord. And I know some of y'all, maybe you've seen it and you're like, it seems crazy that that all came together. But the day that we were going on the boat and we renewed our vows, we got a word from the Lord that said that that's what he wanted to see done, to see this whole thing completed. And it was crazy. We're like, okay, we'll do it. And I did not use the God clause. I did not say to Chick, hey, God said this, we got to do this. That's not. I didn't want to do that either because I know I just get more, I get getting myself into more trouble. But it was really sweet how it all came together. And we were in Tiberias, and then we went to Capernaum, and we walked around there, and my mother-in-law is saying, hey, you got to go talk to him. We got to get this thing going. I'm like, yeah, I know, we got to find the moment. He's over here. I'm trying to see stuff too. And we finally leave from there and go to Magdala, and that's where I had a moment to talk to him, and I said, hey, Pop, you remember, you know, back when I messed everything up and rushed this whole thing, and I hurt everybody in the process. He says, yeah, why are we talking about this? I already forgave you about it. And I was like, well, can we make it right? Can we renew our vows on the boat tonight? And he says with a big smile, yeah, I know some people. And so his whole thing, he wanted to see this thing reconciled even to that degree. Excuse me. There we go. Sorry. So even to that, right? Want to get to the other side of it. We want it to be to be better between us, so we can go and do things. And God was glorified in that evening. It is an amazing thing to see. And so if you haven't seen it, you can go on the Facebook, I believe, and it's still there. As we see in 1 Corinthians 13:5, some of your versions would say that love thinks no evil, but in the NIV it says that love holds no records of wrongs. So neither should we. Let's get to the end of it. But moving on to verse 17, if he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. But if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be as to you as a Gentile and a tax collector. And we know that the audience that Jesus is speaking to, a Gentile and a tax collector, those were unsightly people. These are people we did not associate with at all. So the person that does not want to do it, this is something that really you can't do anything more. But again, this is all for the sake of reconciliation. Let's do everything we can to ensure that we've done all things, right? To live at peace with all men, do all these things so that we can get to that ultimate goal of reconciliation. Now, Pastor Chick and Pastor Mike, they're out of state and doing, are a part of this process right now for a church. To be a third party in a very tense situation. But they're not there to go point fingers, right? To validate somebody's hurt feelings or vindicate somebody for an offense. They're really there with the heart to get this from point A to point B in reconciling so they can move on. And you know, right, if we look at, I'm going to turn there, but 2 Corinthians 5, 18, chapter 5 starting in 18, you know we've been reconciled to God. You know that Jesus came to die for our sins. But let's read this. I think this is such a sweet passage, 2 Corinthians, not 1st. Numbers are hard too. Here we go. 2 Corinthians 5:18. All this from God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their sins against them, and has entrusted to us the message of reconciliation. So we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. God made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we may become the righteousness of God in him. He reconciled himself. Him, God the Son, separated himself from the Trinity to come here to do that. And as we look at how he did that, he lived in this state, a lowly estate, and dealt with all the things that you and I deal with in life. And he did it perfectly. And then he was subjected to much ridicule and torture and ultimately executed. But he never, ever pointed the fingers at anybody. He had the intention to get this, to take this back, that which we forfeited to the enemy, and never ever held it against us for what he did. And he did it with all joy. Now you know that what it was the practice, or maybe you don't, but it was the practice of the Romans to scourge their subject before crucifying them. The purpose of this painful event was to extract information to settle a case, right? This person might confess, or to continue their investigations. So they would continue to do this till they got confessions, or they got their accomplices, the names of their accomplices. Now that scourging, oftentimes conducted with the cat of nine tails, a whip that had leather thongs on it with bits of bone, glass, rock connected to the end, and it was painful. And it would, while they are attempting to extract information, it would extract flesh from your body, and muscle tissue and whatever else. And it wouldn't cease until that happened. Oftentimes, this gets confused with the passage in Deuteronomy 25:3, where the Jews were allowed to give 40 lashes. But oftentimes, they would stop at 39, not to exceed that. But the Romans had no such law. They wanted their information, and they were going to get it. So most people didn't survive the scourging before they were crucified. And so Jesus, by the power of the Holy Spirit, endured that whole thing. And like a sheep that was led to the slaughter, silent. He gave up none of our names. He didn't give up the apostles' names, right? He didn't give up Judas's name, who just betrayed him, nor Peter's, who denied him three times. He gave up nobody's name. He took it all, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, went to that hill and was crucified on it. And so I'm sure we've seen movies and depictions of this, but I think that those don't necessarily do it justice. It was more horrible than we could imagine. But he did that for us. And he, you know, we're told that we're also to suffer like him, right? To know him and the fellowship of his sufferings. And so, as he did that with that in mind to reconcile us, can we also not do it? And none of us are getting whipped with a cat of nine tails, so I would say it's not that bad. But understand that while he did that and he was focused on reconciling us, we see here in 1 Corinthians 5:18 that we're also given the ministry of reconciliation. That should be our goal, to reconcile the situations that we have, to be a part of the situations, to reconcile it, so we can get back to doing what we're called to do, to love people, to go and reach people with the gospel. And so I would submit to you that if you don't know what ministry you should be a part of, this is one area that you can be a part of it. And I'm not saying go look for problems, but when problems come around, be that peacemaker. Be that person who will stand in the gap. Get this thing dealt with. Be the one who is willing to be wrong. I also must do the same thing. And I also fail on it. So when I do fail at it, hopefully you guys can also tell me, you're being a knucklehead. Knock it off. Let's get this thing dealt with. Let's get beyond it. And I will do the same thing for you. But we know church is messy because people are messy. And it's about the people, right? God's not interested in what we can do for him. He's interested in us. And so we should be interested in people, loving them. And we should be into loving people. So I say, get ready to take a beating in Jesus' name and for his sake. So let's pray. Father, I thank you for this this time. I thank you for being able to come up here and share this. I thank you just being able to go through this and be very much reminded that I also need to be ready to take the beating. They just need to be wrong. What does it matter, Lord? Who cares? At the end of all these things, Lord, we'll be with you and in heaven. And so, Lord, again, we again lift up our pastor to you and Pastor Mike Fernandez as they're dealing with this situation. Lord, you just fill them with your spirit so they can, and bring them back so we can be with them next week and hear from our pastor. In Jesus' name, amen.